Welcome to the Effective Engineering Manager podcast. Today we have a guest speaker, Anand Safi. Hello, Anand.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm Anand Safi. I am an engineering manager working currently at Mark 43. And over the past decade, I've had experiences both in the engineering individual contributor roles, and then also more recently for the past couple of years in the engineering leadership roles. Along with my core role at Mark 43, I also do a lot of mentorship and coaching for engineers who aspire to move to engineering management.
Well, this is great. So it's your time today. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, so today I wanted to talk about how going from an individual contributor as an engineer to an engineering manager is not a promotion. It is very much thought so as a promotion, but what I want to discuss here is it's a fundamental difference in terms of the responsibilities itself. For an engineering manager role, the responsibilities are changing from an IC or individual contributor role. We're discussing to the extent a possibility that you might not end up writing code altogether. And this is kind of crucial because I consider these two things as separate career tracks, because a promotion would normally mean that you are doing more or less the same things, but you're doing kind of at a bigger scale, more impact, and just kind of in a better sense. But this is not the case with this topic.
Yeah, thanks, Anand. This is Adam here. This is such an important and key point, especially for those looking to move from an IC role into a leadership path, one that has responsibility for directs. And as we have discussed on this podcast before, it really tests the true motivators for an individual to want and have the capabilities to become a leader. So Anand, can you take us through this a bit more? Because it's a great topic.
Sure thing. Yeah. So I'll be sharing some key signals in terms of just helping folks make a decision to transition from the IC to a manager role. But also I'll be giving some broad overview of the engineering manager role itself. The key signals will assist in kind of everyone evaluating their own reasoning and choices. Before I go into that, I would like to first just break it down into two groups of people who would possibly be candidates for kind of this topic. So one group would be those who are transitioning into engineering management, and the second would be folks who have been recently made EMs or engineering managers in their role. For the first one, who are still thinking of a transition, there could be a couple of factors that kind of got them to this point. First, it could be tenure-based. So we see that in most companies where you are the senior most engineer or you spend kind of a decent amount of time there and have a solid system understanding. And then the company or the team believes that you're ready for kind of just managerial responsibilities, stepping up into just having your first direct reports. This is the most traditional track that we see normally in terms of tenure-based actually. The second for that group could be interest-based, solely that you're still a mid to senior level engineer or maybe even a tech lead, but you're honest and upfront with your manager or team that you are interested in the engineering management track, the people responsibilities that come with it. And that is probably a more formal transition or evaluation if they feel that it is the right time, both for the team based on your skill set or interest to go into the management role. So it's either tenure-based or interest-based in terms of when somebody might be facing this transition situation in their career in that regards. One thing that I would like to highlight, especially for any of these kind of tenure interest-based, is I use something called tech lead. And the terms tech lead and engineering managers are usually interchangeably to this day by companies. I personally experienced this in a previous tech lead role. So I wanted to just take a moment and caution that my talk is about a formal engineering manager role. There's a difference in terms of what a true engineering manager role is. There's less kind of, I would say, training or knowledge about that role. It's very hands-on in terms of wearing many hats. It's a pretty dynamic role. So if you're still interested in technology in terms of being kind of the things you like doing as an engineering individual contributor, you feel that probably that as an engineering manager, you have more technical power and authority. That might not always be the case. Yes, you definitely have more decision-making kind of authority, but it does not literally translate into dictating every kind of decision that goes in the tech stack. It's simply because your time is going to be split between some technical aspects and then some people aspects of the role. So even before talking about kind of the signals to evaluate your own transition, I want to set up like this clear distinction that the tech lead and the engineering manager role are different. The tech lead is more of kind of a, you're owning the system, the technology architecture still, and the engineering manager is kind of owning more the success of a team and is also an equal people manager. So it's basically architecture and tech stack ownership versus team success, motivation, and morale of the people they manage or the people on their team.
So what is your take on the differences between individual contributors and the engineering management tracks?
Right. So one of the key differences that I see is the ability to compromise on the technical output that you will end up as an engineering manager versus an individual contributor. So as an individual contributor, if you are writing code 60 to 70% of your time, give or take the meetings or other little things that come up, let's say it's going to reduce drastically. And by drastically, I mean 0 to 30%. And yes, zero is a reality in this case. I probably spent the last 3 to 6 months not writing any code at all, even if I so much wish to. So the key difference first is, are you okay with giving that up, right? Again, there is a lot of talk that people can still able to like do coding, and they're able to say technical in terms of writing code day in, day out as a engineering manager role. But just in my personal opinion, once you're on this track, I don't think this is a scalable practice. If you're still taking on critical hands of development tasks as an engineering manager, you could potentially become a bottleneck for your team. Say if you're not available that week, or you need to do a lot of performance reviews, or you are in some strategic meeting, or if you are doing a lot of hiring manager interviews, actually, then you can possibly become kind of a bottleneck in terms of moving the needle on that particular engineering individual contributor task. So you should be willing to compromise on your heads down implementation time, that your time as an engineering manager is going to be spent more in constant collaboration, which is either collaborating with people on the team in terms of purely engineers on the team, or collaborating with other stakeholders like the PM, the designer, or the QA, or with your own engineering leadership higher up in terms of just strategy and roadmap as an engineering organization. So the first key difference is heads down time versus constant collaboration. And that is just one key signal to be aware of in terms of understanding your motivation. Next up, the key difference that I would say is you should be okay spending probably more than half of your time in meetings and tackling various action items that emerge from those meetings, actually. I know for a fact, just in my own recent personal experience, that if a company is in like the hyper growth hiring mode, or if just a performance review season as indicated, or if there's just some ad hoc conflict resolution, or just some other one-on-one kind of meeting with your direct report that comes up, there is just so much of these more and more as we go into the remote culture and distributed teams. That meetings are kind of becoming more crucial than ever for this engineering manager role, for just being able to keep up with the constant information flow and things going around actually. So it's not that you can just get out of meetings any given week. There will be some definitely core meetings that you will need to be a part of every week. And that is for your own benefit as well as for your team's benefit, right? Because it's literally the amount of context that is needed in this role in terms of managing internal and external updates, managing internal and external dependencies, sharing updates within the team, sharing updates outside the team, unblocking team members. So all those things actually do translate to more than half of your time spent in meetings. Another difference that I want to highlight is this notion of definition of success becoming more broad. What I mean by that is personally, I remember that as an engineer and individual contributor, there were days that my code was kind of just a PR was approved, the code would pass all the bills, I would complete the feature, and then I got, wow, a dopamine boost at the end of the day and say, it's been a productive day. I could see clear output as an engineer when I completed a feature, rolled it out, and then it was live kind of in a matter of hours. As an engineering manager, it's difficult to define what success looks like personally, because there are no metrics which directly tie to kind of individual engineering managers, right? So for an engineer, we still use at places lines of code or the amount of features you have completed, the kind of bugs that you have introduced should be less, all those quantifiable metrics that could indicate that you are a strong engineer. But for an engineering manager, I believe you have to sort of come up with your own metric set on what success is. For me personally, I've come up with things like, well, there was no conflict in the team this week. Maybe there was no deadline that the team missed this week, actually. Maybe there is no question in terms of the meeting that I had with a stakeholder in terms of lack of clarity, and everybody clearly understood the requirements, actually. Maybe there is no scope creep. We all were aligned right from what we will deliver, and we just stick to it. There were no bug tickets that we create, or there were no kind of things that needed just investigation in terms of just even before getting to a feature development. So this abstract definition that you kind of need to find what success is like an engineering manager is another important difference or signal to keep in mind. I would probably end with saying the last difference or signal is this mindset of being a creator versus an enabler. As an engineer, an individual contributor, you have that dedicated heads down implementation time to work on tasks and actually get kind of just working at the fundamental code level. So you are creating things actually, you're laying out features, while as an engineering manager, think of it as you're enabling the creators to do their role. You are unblocking the team. You are giving clarity to the stakeholders. You are giving clarity to the team. You are providing updates to leadership. You are sharing updates with other team. So all of this is just enabling a lot of information sharing and removing the bottlenecks for your teams and team members, actually. So this is a key differentiator in terms of being a creator versus an enabler mindset that is required on the engineering management side that I feel strongly. So these are some differences or signals that I just want people to be aware of and evaluate against. Again, I don't think that you should be checking every box in terms of all these things that need to be kind of met. But I think the motivation piece is key here, right? So the promotion would be in terms of going to an engineer, to a senior engineer, to tech lead, to principal staff engineer. That's a vertical career ladder progression. What we have talked about in the last kind of 5-10 minutes, it definitely does not sound like a promotion. The EM and the leadership track is a parallel career ladder and a different track altogether. So it's a different move. It's not a vertical move. And I hope this kind of makes people aware of that critical difference.
Anand, thank you very much. I mean, I think you articulate that very well. And you bring up a very important point, this mindset of becoming an enabler versus just doing things yourselves. I would argue if you sat down with a handful of folks that were going to become managers and you asked them what they think their role would be, they may tend to say, you know, oh, I need to, you know, be a strong engineer advocate for my team and help get the team to make deliverables and all that kind of stuff. But I think one thing that you would not see is them saying, I need to ensure the team can do the job that I have done in the past, or, you know, I've learned to do from experience. And I think that's a key point, because once you are a leader, you have to not only transition your mindset, but you also have to project enough internal and external confidence. When we say internal within your team, external kind of upwards, to allow others on the team to grow as well. And that is often not an easy task for many engineers to accept, especially when you're used to being rewarded for, as you mentioned, you know, creating writing code, delivering, seeing very tangible results. As an engineering manager, they're not as tangible in that regard.
Yes, I agree as well. So let's dive in a bit further. Anand, what are the first things that happen when an engineer gets their career transition to management?
Yeah, so let's probably for a new engineering manager with the transition, think of their first 90 days, right? A quick thing you will realize in the first couple of weeks is that you really need to build trust and rapport with all the people that you are working with. And that goes beyond the engineers, right? It also includes all the other stakeholders from the various focus areas. As an engineering individual contributor, you spend probably 75% of your time within the engineering team with other engineers, or you could continue to focus on the engineering aspects of the role only. But in the engineering manager role, you probably spend 50% or maybe on some days even less time with just the engineers. The other half of the time is spent with people who are the stakeholders representing the cross-functional discipline. So, which is product, design, UX, which probably also ends up being part of design. Then there is QA, if there is one. And then there's a lot of others kind of in terms of like, if you have a dedicated platform and deployments team, there would also be recruiting and the people ops team if you're doing hiring for those roles. That is why you need to build kind of relationships early on, because going back to that collective team success part, your team cannot be successful unless everyone in each of these disciplines is not aligned on the common goal and also on how we are going to get there as a team. So again, as an individual contributor, you probably need to tell a couple of other engineers or a manager that you're working on a particular refactor and this is the time it will take. But as an engineering manager, you have to have that conversation with the engineer. You need to present it then to the other stakeholders. You need to bring up in, say, a team weekly meeting that engineering is going to focus on this refactor for this week, that this is the business value long-term that it brings, or this is the interim business commitment that might be impacted. Also, based on this, does this affect kind of your own roadmap in any sense? Based on this kind of work that we are doing in presence of a QA team, are they able to do a regression test and when the refactor is out? So there's a lot of just given this example, say there's a lot of cross communication and information sharing that will kind of just become a core DNA of your day-to-day role as an engineering manager. And you'll quickly realize that you're working with so many different people week in, week out versus just an individual contributor role. And that is why going back to the initial notion of more meeting time, we'll feel that there's a lot of meetings, but those conversations will end up being really valuable and productive in terms of your overall kind of workday success.
This sounds great. What else would you like fresh engineering managers to know to help them to make this transition easier?
I would say that another kind of couple of things that I would like to highlight is first, just where when I have mentioned information sharing already a few times, is just have a structured way to capture all the information that you will be exposed to throughout the day, which is in terms of meetings or hallway conversations, maybe pre-COVID times. But now it could emerge in various, say, Slack messages, threads, or even one-on-one meetings. So you need to kind of always have that subconscious mind active in terms of if you hear a thing in a one-on-one, you should be able to make that connection that maybe this is something that I need to bring to the wider group, or I need to share with someone, or this is a follow-up action item for me to take upon actually. So we just need to make sure that you're staying on top of all conversations and how you deal with that. The second thing is being an active listener. It's not only being a good listener, but it's being an active listener, because you wouldn't know what information ends up surfacing in what meeting as a part of what conversation. This is so much true, even more so correct than it sounds, that being situationally aware is really important nowadays. And that will help you a lot, actually, in terms of if you need to recall that kind of conversation a day later, a week later, because there are so many topics and conversations that are ongoing in terms of your typical kind of day or week, actually. So it's going to be difficult for you to remember every single thing, say sometime later. As long as you're keeping some sort of documentation or just making an immediate action item as a to-do thing, that really helps. It has personally helped me that in terms of any information that you need to follow up or you need to share with folks, just documenting that. So the overall thing that I want to highlight is being an active listener is important for this role, along with just knowing what information to share or just kind of be aware of. Next, I would say that make sure you're setting yourself up for success in the very kind of your first 90 days itself, and you keep yourself accountable at the end of those 90 days. So if you need more training and support, ask for it as early as possible. Don't consider or don't wait thinking that there will be a lot of kind of training and support or a lot of information will come in kind of just future time in terms of being an engineering manager. There is kind of that no honeymoon period, so-called, in terms of when you're onboarding as an engineering manager. You dive right into kind of a new project, new team. Within a week, say, you'll feel that, yeah, you're leading the stand-up meetings, you're leading the team kind of grooming meetings for our engineering output. You're owning kind of these things and deliverables outright, actually. So you need to understand what is going on in the team in terms of a delivery standpoint and also the morale. You need to understand your direct reports' current frame of mind. Are they going through anything in their life that could impact kind of the output? There is no kind of ramp up period or take it easy period for an engineering manager. So you need to be self-critical and hit the ground running that maybe kind of a couple of weeks into your role, you should be just setting yourself up for success. So anything that you feel you are needing more information, keep on asking those questions, keep on getting that information made available to you as early as possible in the process, because it might already kind of be a little late if you do that a month or two later. So just bring it back in terms of just make sure your first 90 days are spent gathering as much context and awareness as possible. Do one-on-ones with these people who have been in this role, say, for some time in the company, like existing engineering leaders. Do one-on-one with the people that you feel are going to be important for you to either share information, get information from, and also who will be critical to your team's success and whatever project you're managing.
That's great. Thanks for the deep dive into how becoming an engineering manager is not a promotion and things that new engineering managers will experience when they transition from engineers to managers.
Yeah, and I agree. This is really great and comprehensive as well. Hopefully our listeners can just take this today and use this as a valuable resource in transitioning into leadership and subsequently coaching their directs into similar roles, creating a chain of really good management practices. So to conclude, can you give our listeners a checklist of things that engineering managers should do during their onboarding period?
Sure. So here would be my three item checklist. Number one, observe and adapt versus being rigid and imposing. Number two, build connections and gain trust early on. And finally, number three, stay technical, but do not spend a lot of time implementing technical solutions.
Anand, thank you. That was good stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been really a pleasure speaking on the Effective Engineering Manager podcast. Thank you.